Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah.
And I'm Matthew.
Hey, listeners, you can see the title, right? You can see the description of the episode. You know what happens here?
And of course, you're not surprised after all our tireless lobbying to get wrestlers on here and how much we love to talk about wrestlers.
We've been begging.
We've been soliciting. You know, we've been operating this entire time just hoping to attract wrestlers.
And saying the kinds of things that we always thought would. So you'll hear it. So, hey, guys, keep listening. And what you're about to hear is us interviewing Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the Young Bucks. And as you, our listeners, just heard, we are joined today by our AEW EVP, Matthew Jackson, one half of the Young Bucks. Matt, welcome.
Oh, I mean, it's great to be here. We were just talking about how amazing our Christmases were. We're all a little burnt out, but I feel a little hungover from Christmas. I'm staring at these decorations right now, actually, and they're just eyeing me down, like, take me down.
They can't tell you what to do.
We'll get to it. I don't know what was up with my Christmas tree this year, but it was like weeping pine needles all over my house. And I've been vacuuming for 3 days and I still have not removed them all.
Oh, you still do the real tree?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's old school.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like this year you said maybe not again.
This year demoralized me.
It feels like they dry up in like 3 days now. So like we went to the fake stuff now. Like I was super against it too. Like I would fight about it. She's like, we're getting a fake trim. Like, no, we are not. So like for 10 years. And finally, I gave up. Like, okay. We're doing fake.
And now like they come with the lights already on them. So it's like, oh, I just like set it up. And it's so easy.
Convenient.
Yeah.
So convenient.
Yeah. Too easy to refuse.
Mm. Yep.
Well, as you guys can hear, we are in the, we're in the week after Christmas here and in the week approaching Dynasty. Which you are heading to Japan for.
Yeah. We leave the second. So it's God bless in a week. We're getting on a plane and Nick's bringing all his kids. He's got three. I got two.
Yeah.
And so we're all kind of sitting together. So it's going to be a wild 10-hour flight.
Are you feeling excited for that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm thrilled.
No, at least you're already on the West Coast to start, but that is so long with little kids. Like,
yeah. Have they ever done a flight that long?
I have. So it's funny because God, my kids won't remember, but they've already been to Japan quite a few times. My daughter, Courtney, she's 13 now. I think this is going to be her fourth trip over.
Wow.
And then Zachary's 9. And God, I think he went when we were so stupid. We took him when he was like a baby, like I want to say 6 months to a year or something. And it ruined. Yeah. Dana just gave me the 6 months. It ruined his sleep cycle for the rest of his, like him being a baby.
So, no.
And then we went to Japan and it ruined it forever. Like he never slept good after that. So we're like, So yeah, we've done it. Now they're older. Now they're pretty good travelers too. We travel quite a bit with them. So
yeah,
we give them their iPad and they're pretty good to go. Nick's got a younger one now. He's got a boy who's 4 and he's wild.
Yeah.
He's worried about that. It's we're all gonna probably have to help out on that one.
So. Yeah, it's kind of an uncontrollable age for the plane because it's like old enough to really be bored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's on his feet and he's running around and tumbling everywhere and he's crazy. So every day Nick just keeps telling me like, oh my God, what am I gonna do?
You're gonna follow him around, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the last time you guys wrestled in Japan, it was 2019. We were wondering, for New Japan fans who maybe haven't followed you since you left, how would you describe the characters of Matt and Nick Jackson right now as you return?
Oh, man, it's so different than from the last time they've seen us. I mean, for one, just if you look at it like physically, like we wore the tassels and the colorful neon spandex and all that stuff. And just our attitudes were a lot different back then. So I think a lot of people who'd seen us, you know, back then and they're seeing us now, they're like, who are these dudes with mustaches and you know, in suits and pearl necklaces and all this weird stuff? Like, a lot of people probably don't even recognize us. Like, who are these guys? And we've gotten older, obviously. Father Time's catching up. I think now we've, you know, for fans who haven't seen us in a while, we are now executive vice presidents. Mm-hmm. We take it very seriously. You know, we're not Matt Nick anymore. We're Matthew Nicholas Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit more of a serious tone, although we still, you know, you know us, like we like to have fun in the ring. So, and who knows what it's going to be like being in the ring in Japan, you know, in 2025, maybe a little bit of that old character will come out in us. And I don't know if I can help myself, but, you know, yell out Mato when I get in the ring. I don't know. Maybe you'll see a little bit of that stuff, but it's funny, 'cause I was just talking to Masa, our biggest hardcore Japanese fan in the world. And he's so excited. We're gonna have a little reunion and stuff. But I asked him, I said, you know, it's been so long. Do people there even remember us? It's been 6 years. Like, wrestling fans have really short-term memory, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no, people are very excited for you guys. I was like, okay, that made me feel better. 'Cause I'm like, it's been a long time, you know, but no, we're eager and we're excited. And I think, you know, a little bit of that's probably like that nostalgia, that feeling of, you know, I don't know. It's like you're revisiting a childhood home in a way, you know, like, I still drive by my old house, in Rancho Cucamonga, and where we had the ring built, and I get this warm feeling. And that's the same kind of like feeling I get now, if that makes any sense, when I even think about Japan, like just going back to Japan, like I had so many great warm memories there. And I'm just really excited, and I'm excited to take the kids now that they're a little bit older, because I feel like they were really little. Courtney was, you know, it was 6 years ago. So God, she even then, I don't like, she tells me, she's like, I have some memories, Dad, but like, I'm really excited to give them some like lasting core memories that they'll be able to look back at forever. So when I get to talk about my days in Japan, they'll actually have something like, oh yeah, I was in that building, you know, when I saw you guys do this. And so I'm just excited. And Tokyo Sea and Tokyo Disney, we're going to do all that. And I'm excited to just show them around and show them the culture. And I haven't had this much, I have nerves right now. And it's not even just about the wrestling. It's about everything. It's just landing in Haneda and looking around and smelling those, you know, familiar smells and seeing all the things that I missed. Like, I dream about Japan. So it's something I'm really excited for. Nick's really excited about. And I know my kids are too. So, and Dana too. She's really pumped too.
It's awesome that you all get to go together. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're thinking about your characters over there, like, is it something that you're, you know, like consciously ahead of time, like thinking about who you guys are going to present yourself as and how that's going to go? Or is it something that more happens like naturally in the moment, or how's that work?
God, I really should be preparing better. It's funny. Well, it's funny. Like, when I'm in the wrestling,
you guys see me.
Yeah,
we see you.
I think we
surprised.
We picked up another EVP.
Yeah. Sorry,
I made it in.
Yeah, I've been driving. I completely forgot. I have a Christmas party today with my in-laws.
Oh my gosh! Don't apologize.
No.
Sorry. Thank you for still calling in. We did
welcome. Worries. Yeah. I just sent the entire family into the house, and I'm here in the car. So.
Well, we're really grateful.
Yeah.
What an unprofessional EVP, you know. Like, I'm dressed in my freaking cardigan, and this guy's in his suit clothes.
I did so Friday nights I do a sleepover with the kids all in the living room. It was something we started during COVID, and it's something they look forward to every Friday. And of course, now my little one who's four, he's joined the group. So now I got three little kids in the living room till midnight. So and I'm sleeping on the couch. And I never sleep good on a Friday night. And so in the morning, I let my wife sleep in till 10 a.m. She comes in into the living room and she goes, get ready. We have to get to my parents' house, my in-laws. There's a Christmas party. I go, oh, my God, that was Sunday. And so I told Matt, I'm sorry, Matt, I'm going to be driving because we're about an hour and a half away from the party. And so I completely forgot, but here I am. I made it.
Well, what you've described is quite relatable. I'm constantly forgetting about things I said I'd do. So, no worries. You know what?
I find the days between Christmas and New Year's, everything is like a blur.
Yeah.
So it's bizarre.
It's liminal time. Nothing counts.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, he's out of it. He goes, man, I can't believe we're leaving Friday for Japan. I go, well, we're leaving Thursday.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I've been out of it.
We're so happy to have you. It was really nice of you to call in.
Thank you
for
coming there.
Yeah.
No problem.
We were just asking, I don't remember what we just asked, something about getting ready for Japan, which it sounds like
and sort of like character
in this period.
Yeah. And character building, like how you think of your characters.
You know, what's funny is like when we're out of the loop, we're completely out of the loop. But when we're wrestling, we're like obsessed and we like think about it all day. And since we've been on break, it's like, oh my God, it's already been 2 months. Holy crap. I better start thinking about what's next and preparing for what's next. And here I'm like, oh my God, now we're going to be wrestling in a week. And so it's like I wish I had a better answer for you. It's like, no, we need to really probably start putting our heads together and getting, you know, prepared. We do.
Well, for one thing, I was going to say we have a new set of gear. So we just tried it out a couple days ago, actually, and it looks pretty cool. It's a little different from what our normal look has been as the EVP characters, but it's something we're excited to debut at the Tokyo Dome show.
Wow. On behalf of all your female fans, may I ask if the suit top will still be part of it? Or are we finally losing that?
Keeping those vests or what's going on?
It's a little different. You know what? I don't know. I might actually lose it. We'll see.
Hey. I like to hear that.
And Matthew, what's up?
Can we get a firm commitment on the topic?
It's definitely not. We're not doing vests this time. We have tops. Right. Whether or not we decide to wrestle in them will be decided. You know, what's funny is like one thing I have been able to do is get myself into pretty decent shape during this break. Like I've taken, you know, diet and working out really seriously. And it's funny, it's not for anybody but myself and like my family. Cause I'm like, God, I'm 39 now. I'm turning 40 in March. I better really start getting into gear. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of wrestlers do it cosmetically. It's like, I'm doing it more for my health, but it's carried the benefits of looking better. I've dropped a few pounds and I feel really good. I'm probably the strongest I've been in years. So I don't know, maybe if I'm feeling good, maybe I'll pull that top off and, we'll see what happens.
That's a reason for people to tune in. That's
right.
Yeah, that's
going to
sell pay-per-views. Yeah.
We'll see how New Year's goes. I don't know. It's bad because I have an in and out hat on right now.
Nice.
Things might get bad in the next few days before that flight. So we'll see.
You guys always look great. Working out or not. So, you know, give us a little gift.
Appreciate it.
Just that little gift. Can we ask? This year you've been doing the EVPs. You're wearing your suits in the ring. Do you have a favorite era of like Young Bucks look?
Oh boy, man! Personally, it was really interesting wearing suits because we've never even done that ever. Right. Really, like I remember when AEW first started. I had like one tailored suit and I wore it at every event. And like Dana's just like, God, you got to get another suit. This is getting ridiculous. You know what I mean? So it was fun doing that because it's so out of character for us because we dress so casual usually.
Yeah.
My favorite era personally was probably 2021 when I got to wear like all my Hawaiian shirts and
yes.
And Nicholas was too. Nicholas was doing the rompers and like we were doing it. Just to pop each other. Like people don't realize like I'm like, hey Nick, I dare you to do a nose ring this week. He's all done. You know, like that was fun because we would walk around and the whole locker room every week was like, what are they wearing this week? And whenever you can entertain the boys and girls back there and they're having a laugh and we're laughing along with, that's when it's the best.
Yeah.
We got similar reactions on this most current run, the 24 run. Is every week it was like, what facial hair are they going to have this week?
Yeah. You went through quite a few phases.
Yeah. So for me, it's a battle between 21 and 24. It's as far as the most fun and entertaining, it was definitely those two eras for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Nick, those rompers were incredible. Where were you buying them? I was so interested in like where you were sourcing your like Mallard rompers.
I found it all on Amazon, believe it or not.
Nice.
You're not giving enough credit to yourself because don't you remember we used to go to the malls Wednesday morning before the shows and we would find whatever local flavor there was too. And we would buy a lot of our outfits the day of the show.
Well, the rompers were exclusively on Amazon. But those with shoes that I would find like at the local malls that you're talking about and things like that.
Nice.
And is that where the new pearl accessories are coming from as well? Are we finding those online? Are we at the mall?
So the origin of the pearl necklace is funny. It's like, so Dan and I went to a Justin Timberlake concert. I think it was earlier this year, and he was wearing a pearl necklace. I said, God, that is so freaking ridiculous. It's like, like, that's such great heat. Because the whole time I'm looking at it and I'm kind of judging it. I'm like, that is awful. How could you, why would you wear that? You know? And then, like, as a joke, I'm like, I should do that. That's great. So I started wearing them. And then, oddly enough, I started kind of like after my matches and after our segments, I would kind of like wear the necklace around a couple extra days. I'm like, wait a minute, hang on. I'm like, is this growing on me?
This is why Justin was doing it.
Like, I worked myself into a shoot a little bit. So then, like, Dana bought me like a really nice one. And then I went to Hawaii and this one custom jewelry, like, jeweler had them out. And like, I was like, can you like add this to it? And like, and she did. And I wore that around all summer. So now I actually like them. So I actually buy like real nice ones. And then there's a couple like the big giant ones, like you could find at cheap places too, like at the mall, or you can find them on Amazon or whatever. Cause those usually last one match and then they break.
So. Not even. Yeah. During your entrance.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's true.
How do you like identify something like that? Some aspect of the presentation that you're like, oh, it would be fun to just start like playing this up.
I think if it gets an emotional reaction out of myself, like if it makes me laugh or feel a certain way, then I go, oh, okay, there's probably something to that. And then, right. And then you could feel like when you almost like pilot the idea, right? Like put that certain, you know, like necklace on or outfit on and walk around all day at TV. And what kind of a reaction does it get from
everybody?
And if everybody's laughing, if they're reacting strong, you know that it'll read better in front of a live audience. So like, it's so like me and Nick do that a lot. We're like, we'll test out a stupid mustache and just wear it. And if people are going crazy all day, we're like, okay, this is how I'm going to present myself today on television. Right. Cause it's a winner.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes, to pop the boys, we would actually not even shave until our segment was about to air. So we would be backstage with a full beard, and then the entire day everyone would see us in a full beard, and then we would switch it up 5 minutes before we're going live on television.
I always loved that BTE we segment did that multiple where you guys times. Were painting your beards like right before you went out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That helps fill it out more too. I still do that.
Oh, you're That's, doing so just like a hair colored spray.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
These are the behind the scenes secrets.
Right. Yeah. Like 1 week, we would have like a mustache, and it's nearly impossible 3 days later on a pay per view to have something else. So yeah. the paint or the mascara or whatever we would use would help cover that up a little bit more.
That's amazing.
It's so fun to have that built-in audience of like the guys in the back, like popping for stuff. Do you feel like when you're crafting storylines too, is that like, are you bouncing ideas off people, or how does that usually work to like
that's the
figure
same
out
way.
What you're going to do?
Yep. Same way. We usually out loud, we talk about storylines just to see if there's anyone around to give feedback. And mm-hmm. that's usually when the best stuff we create happens, is collaborating with all the boys. So, most of our long-term stories have been that exact way.
Yeah. Can you usually tell when you first start working with someone, can you tell like, oh, this is like, we've got chemistry. This is going to be a really like juicy feud. Or is that something that like you kind of can't tell till you're out in the ring?
No, for me, sometimes it's just having a conversation with that person and laying out like that night's segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it's so easy to put together and then you immediately usually know like, oh, okay, there's something here. Or if it's really difficult to put something together and it's a struggle and there's no ideas and it's mm-hmm. quiet in the room, then it's like, mm-hmm. oh boy, maybe this isn't going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like, we're lucky that we have so many people in AEW's locker room that we've worked with for so many years elsewhere. So we already know it's like that built-in chemistry. We're like, oh, I can't wait to work with so-and-so, you know.
We've had instant chemistry with a lot of the guys, though. Like, I remember wrestling FTR for the first time ever, and we had, like, a classic the first time we ever touched, and that doesn't happen often with people. Like, and the same could be said with the Lucha Brothers. I remember wrestling them the first time at PWG, and we had instant chemistry. And those are two teams, like, right away. You know, the Motor City Machine Guns are another team that, we... The first time we wrestled them is like an instant classic.
Private party too. Like as soon as we locked up, I was like, yeah, okay, we're going to kill it with these guys.
Yeah.
Top flight.
Same with the Briscoe brothers. It was like from the start, we always had classics with a lot of those teams and instant chemistry. And it makes it so much easier performing.
Yeah. Are there times when like you don't have instant chemistry, but then you like build it over time, or do you like end up getting bored with working with the same people over and over, or how does that work?
It'll happen. You sometimes have to earn it.
Yeah,
like you have to figure it out sometimes, right? Like you'll have one match and you're like, well, it was the first time we touched. I'm sure the next time we work with you guys, it'll be better. And nine times out of 10, it usually is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have a feud with someone, you're like in the room being like, okay, let's start, you know, coming up with ideas or whatever for the, where do you start? Like figuring out, okay, this is what we're going to do.
For us particularly, we like to, you know, figure out what's next. And I like to work backwards. So I go, okay, so the pay-per-view match will be against so-and-so. Okay. Mm-hmm. How do we get there? And then let's work backwards and let's figure out, you know, 6 weeks worth of television to make that compelling and interesting. And at the same time, you don't want to overdo it and you don't want to peak, you know, at some point in the middle. And then it's like, well, where do we go from here? We've already brawled three times or whatever. So it's, we like to lay it out like, you know, pretty far in advance.
Like, you know, it's interesting though. Like, for instance, this last run we just had, we were supposed to drop those titles months and months before we actually dropped them. But creative changed, I would say, 4 to 5 different times in the last 6 months. At one point, we were going to lose the belts to a certain team. And then a month later, it changed to another team. And then I remember Private Party came up to us, actually, and they mentioned about wanting to do like a long-term program with us. And we were like, well, sorry, man, Tony just gave us the layout of what we're doing and that's not in the cards.
Yeah.
And something changed and we ended up wrestling them in a match at what pay-per-view was it? It was in Seattle. But we tore the house down. And as soon as we got backstage, we knew, all right, it's in Tony's eyes. He was like, I think we have something. and Matt and I thought the same exact thing. And we're like, we got to pivot. We got to change our plans again. And that was like the fourth time changing plans for those titles to be dropped. Yeah. And we were happy though, because we wanted to put those guys over it.
Yeah.
They deserved the spotlight. And it's been 5 years now. So they were ready for a big push, and I'm just glad Matt and I got to give them that last shove before we left.
Does pivoting like that, does that have impact on how you see your own like personal character arc for a certain kind of gimmick? Like, does that get frustrating, or is it just part of like, you know, you're like, I know the basic strokes of what I want to do in this gimmick and I'll figure out the details as we go, or, you know, does it change things?
It can be frustrating because, like, you see something a certain way and you dream about it and you think about it for months. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's not happening at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it can be frustrating, but you have to, in wrestling, you have to be so, you know, light on your feet and be ready to pivot and make those changes at the last second, because so much happens in wrestling and things change every week and people get hurt and people miss travel or, you know, I think what really helped us get to that point where we were good at it was probably COVID, because every week it was like, oh, so-and-so popped this week, so you're not wrestling him now. It's like, wait a minute. Like, so we got really good at changing things. But yeah, it does get frustrating when you have so many big plans. You're so excited to execute those plans because you've been thinking about it so long and hard. And then it's like, never mind, that's not happening. And it'll probably never happen.
Would you say the last 2 to 3 years, it's the most we've ever had to pivot storyline wise It's incredible how many things have changed, not even on like a monthly basis, but on a weekly basis for our characters alone, the elite as a stable, just everything. And it gets frustrating because in your head you have something pictured out long term, but it never happens the way you feel like it should. It's crazy though, but that's just live television, I would say.
You just can't get especially for wrestling. You can't get too attached to an idea, I've learned in wrestling. And then when the idea changes, try not to be too disappointed, because that's just the way that show business works.
Do you have like any ideas or like storylines you thought you were going to get to do that you didn't get to do, that now you're like, we'll never get to do it, that you can tell us about?
So originally I had a big plan to, I wanted to do something called the Elite Roulette or the EVP Roulette. And I wanted to spin a wheel every week, and whoever it landed on randomly, they'd have to come out and wrestle us right then and there. And we'd have to do a title defense.
Oh, that was the clap.
That was really fun.
I wanted to do it every week. And I wanted it to be like, to the point where we would never know who it was going to be, because in the back we'd have a live shot of like, you know, 12 tag teams in the back, all ready to go in the gear, and then we're in the ring, and then they get that name gets picked, they come out, we do the match, you know. and originally I wanted it to finally land, I don't even know if I should give that away, because that's probably something we could probably do in the future.
Yeah,
I wanted to land on a very specific team. I wanted to land on a very specific team, and I wanted them to maul us in 4 seconds.
Oh my god.
And I thought it would have shocked everyone. And that was my big plan, and we would have dropped the titles that way originally, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And that we were going to do this. This was set in stone. And then one day, I think it was Sanjay sends us a text and goes, "Hey, about your idea." And he sends me a thing, and it was like, I guess NXT was doing the spin the wheel, make a deal thing, right?
Oh no!
We're gonna start in like that
special
week
or something.
You guys,
and we were like, dang! I'm like, well. And it was one of those situations where, like, I was so excited for this idea to pay off, to finally, like, fight 4 or 5 random teams and finally drop the titles in, like I said, Ultimate Warrior Honky Tonk Man style in, like, 5 seconds. Yeah. And I had to just give it up and go, okay, that idea is not gonna happen.
Yeah. You know? Wow.
And it hurt. It hurt.
The universe where that happened would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
We wish we'd gotten to see it.
Have there ever been times where you had to pivot for whatever reason, but then it ended up working out like maybe even better, or at least went really well when you had to like on the fly change things up?
Man, probably. Would you say probably the most recent Private Party situation, Nick? Because I feel like the reaction that they got was strong. Yeah. Everyone was saying, it was like, God, that felt like an old school like AEW pop, like when the luchas beat us in the cage. There's something about when we're the bad guys and we're fighting a team and they come from underneath and we're the champs and then they beat us for the belts. We know how to get the people on the baby faces side. I think that's one thing I'll pat ourselves on the shoulder about. We're probably one of the best at that.
Yeah.
So
I remember that match having that feeling.
And you know what? I'm glad it resonated with you guys too, because that same feeling resonated for us. And we were all in the back so emotional. And it was fun because those guys, I don't remember if it was Zay or Quinn. I think it was Zay. I think Zay had like, God, a dozen family members come in for that show.
Oh, yeah. He flew them all in. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And he told them, he's like, hey, you know, I wanted you guys to be here because this is, you know, this is it. This me and Quinn, like we're splitting or whatever. And he ribbed his whole family. So when they beat us, they were like they were shocked. They were like, what? We come to the back and like they're all in tears and like they're like, why would you do that to us, Zay? So we just thought that was hysterical. Made the night even better.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's so cute.
Classic worker.
Now, have you ever suggested a feud or a storyline or something that you thought was really great and everyone around you said, no, that's so stupid?
Oh, God, how many times?
Oh, man. Probably many times, but I can't think of one like that comes to mind.
Like, you know what's crazy? Do you remember the one, God, so this must have been 3 years ago. It was the Halloween episode, and we had all done our due diligence, and we freaking had like these great costumes for the Squid Games, and we were going to
do this thing. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we had the whole match planned around me, Nick, Kenny. Who else teamed with us that night? Was it? It was the night we ended up being the Ghostbusters. But anyway, so we planned
that's
an
when
entire.
Hangman was the marshmallow guy, right?
That's my favorite AEW moment.
Do you guys know that was my first ever in person wrestling match? Like, that's the first one I ever attended.
That was a fun night.
Yeah, it was
all
really
downhill
fun.
From there.
But, but it was frustrating because, like Matt said, we were supposed to actually be. I think it was Squid Games.
No, it was Squid Games. We had all the costumes, and we worked so hard on it. We were so excited. We had a tug of war spot in the match. We were gonna do all this crazy stuff, and I'm not kidding you when I say this. We were like 3-4 hours from Bell, and we get Tony comes to our room like so frustrated. He's just like, "You guys aren't gonna believe this." And we're like, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah, the network doesn't want you guys to be, you know, the Squid Games guys." And we're like, he's like, "They're pissed about it. And you have to be, you know, you have to do something that's part of the property of WB." And we're like,
"Oh no."
Whoa.
So like,
we had
we're panicked.
Runners.
Yeah, we had to send runners to like Spirit.
Yeah.
Now if you just have like a list of WD properties to like scroll through.
Exactly. Yep. It was like that or like Rick and Morty or like there's a couple of others. Ghostbusters is the best option, obviously. So we scrambled this together. We tossed it like and somehow we came up with like that great plot in the match too, where like Brandon got tied up and they put
that
mask over his head and all that stuff. But like it worked
tape
out
on his mouth.
It ended up working out and even better, I would say. And I'm glad we ended up doing it the way that we did it. But that was one of those that was a tough situation because we were like, this is going to be one of the first Halloweens that, you know, we don't all dress up. Like, this is a disaster. Yeah. I think we promised everybody too, we were going to do a costume match. And so, that doesn't exactly answer your question. But there's definitely been times where we'll spitball, we'll say something that we think is amazing and the whole room's just like looking at us like we're freaking crazy. One idea I remember in the very beginning, we tried to get
Santana
Ortiz and didn't work out.
Yeah, I just thought of one that Matt still keeps pushing on me is that we, instead of wearing normal gear, we go to the classic, like, little bikini underwear, trunks, and shave our heads.
Okay, you lost me there.
I was really excited for a minute.
I was like, yes, yes, no, 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 no.
And I think everyone that hears that idea says the same thing like me, never going to happen.
Kick through your thought process.
It would be so funny for you guys to do a Jericho where you just start coming out in the trunks, but please don't ever touch there. Like bald cap if you must.
There's just something about stripping away and taking away absolutely everything that people have known about us that I love. Like I even wanted to lean more in on the EVP stuff. Like I told Nick, I'm like, I don't want to do a super kick ever again. And he fought me on that and he won the fight.
I was like,
when we come back, I never want to do one ever again. And he's just like, that's our thing. Why don't we stop doing our
thing? I was
thing?
Like, here's the problem with that, Matt, you idiot. We have a shoe that's called the super kick coming out that we have to sell. And
not
Reebok will be super angry.
I'm just an extremist, though. It's like I either want to go one way or the other completely. Like, no, we're not. We're never Matt and Nick again. We're Matthew and Nicholas. We're shaving our heads. We're never doing super kicks. He's just like, shut up.
What do you think that impulse is? Are you just a natural contrarian or like you want to get away from, I don't know, people's expectations?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a little bit of that. It's just I want to reinvent myself. I want to always try new things. I think I get bored quickly. So I'm like, how could I shake things up? You know, like I think I'm like that. And I mean, Dana would agree, like in real life, like I just always want to just rock the boat a little bit. I don't know what that is. Yeah.
That contrarianism, I think.
I think so. You just identified it. I'd never known that. Yeah, you're right.
Like, hey, get in the armchair. I'll tell you what this is.
That's for sure.
Is there like a go-to though? If you have that feeling of like, oh, I'm kind of bored, like that you're like, okay, I'm going to change X. This is the thing I'll go to.
Well, Nick just spoiled one of them right there. But
get rid of the hair. We didn't like that one.
We didn't like that.
I think the hair I probably would keep. That one's more of like a joke, but I go, well, maybe we should go to the trunks. And then he's like, well, shave your legs and tan your legs.
I am not tanning the legs to every single week. I don't know how those guys all do it.
I don't know. I like the idea of feeling uncomfortable and trying new things. And sometimes it doesn't work out. But most of the times in our career, the things that we bet most on, like, it usually works out, right?
So
I like to take those big bets and big risks and try new things. And if we fall flat on our faces at this point, like, who cares?
Yeah, I think part of it is doing it for 20 plus years now. It sometimes the normal gets boring and you just want to think outside the box.
Yeah.
You want to entertain yourself. But to Nick's point, like, you know, you go to a rock show and you want to hear the songs that you know. Like, whenever they play new stuff, everybody's just like, oh, come on, the new stuff. Like, this sucks. It's like, I get that. But as a performer, as a creative person, I always want to come up with something fresh.
Yeah. Do you feel like you go to, like, if you work with somebody different or come up with, like, a different, like, characterization of your character, like, when you're shifting, like, a heel turn or just shifting who your character is, like, are you thinking, like, I'm going to dial up these things and dial back this? Like, how do you keep the continuity but change it up?
Sure. I think if you're a good bad guy, then so here's a good example. It's like when we did the EVP thing, we were like, let's just have really boring matches and let's stop doing all of the super athletic moves that get the big reactions. Because
that was
many
hard
times
for me.
It is hard. I mean, it's hard in general because most of our stuff is pretty exciting. You know, it's high.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
I stopped and we did it. Doing dives for maybe 8 months. I want to say I didn't do a tumble out to the floor for about 8 months, and that was on purpose. We literally wanted people to think, are these guys not athletic anymore? are they just boring wrestlers now? This is weird.
There definitely was some people saying some wild untrue things.
Yeah, you stirred up a little discourse.
You did stir that up.
I see some of it. I stay off most of social media, but one thing that I really like, it really pissed me off was, like, someone said, I thought the Young Bucks were washed. And I was thinking, oh, come on. You guys fell for the gimmick that we were doing? Yeah. Like, we didn't forget how to wrestle out of nowhere. Come on. Don't be dumb.
You know what, though? It worked, because if we just continued wrestling the same style, people would be like, oh, they're just doing the same stuff. Oh, but then when you switch it up and you dial it down a lot, but when you bring it back, there's a huge reaction. It's like, whoa, they could still go. It's like, it was all on purpose. Like, we do everything we do is on purpose because we put a lot of thought into every little thing. So if you see us have a match where we're not leaving our feet much and we're doing that, we're just trying something new.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't, like I just said, sometimes it doesn't always work out. Like, I feel like maybe it hurt our matches a little bit, and our matches at some point in the year weren't as exciting as people normally think our matches are, right? So I remember Nick just going, Matt, let's just go freaking kill it like we always do. Like, we know how to kill it. Let's just go kill it again. I said, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one of the first matches you guys, like, really pulled it out again. One of our friends on the network, Rich from ONR, was just on Twitter just being like, apologize to the Young Bucks. Apologize to them. Apologize with your full throat.
But it was fun to watch you guys do the EVP wrestling, because it felt like you were doing a thing where you were, like, really, really willing to be the butt of the joke and to be, like, the buffoons in the match. Do you think that you will leave that behind and try something new or go back to something old? Or, I don't know, what do you see going forward?
Maybe a mixture of it all, because it feels like we learn something new every time we do change it up.
Yeah.
And like a hybrid version of all of that mixed in the one might be something unique, I think, and maybe challenging to do.
Yeah,
we might not even figure it out at first. It might take a little while to workshop it. And because, I said, I don't, like, I was thinking the EVP run was a year long, and it probably took, God, what would you say, 4 or 5 months, 6 months even, to really, like, go, okay, I think I finally know what this is. Like, you know, even when you cut the promos in the first couple of weeks, we're just trying to figure out what it is that we want to say. Because I'll write a promo out with ideas, and I'm like, is this good? Does this make sense? And then it's like, at a certain point, it finally just clicks, and you go, okay, I'm finally that guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And in wrestling, it's like you're learning in real time, yeah. like live every week on television. It's like, it's tough. Like, I'm not doing this character anywhere else. Like, I'm yeah. practicing on TV.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And yeah. you don't get to retcon it, really. You can't be like, right. oh, let's go back and edit that out. It's yes. like, well, it already aired. Yeah,
right. You got one shot at this band. Yeah. yeah. Make it good. Yeah.
I think, can we ask just two general questions here at the end? We've called uh-huh. these our questions for us. They're not about you. One thing that your colleagues do that we haven't seen you do as much is they come out so wet all the time. Their hair is so wet. Why is that? No God. One will answer it for us.
Yeah, that's a weird wrestler thing. That I would say when you look wet and when you are wet, your muscles pop out more.
Okay.
And that's really the only reason that I could think why a lot of people do that. I've never done it. I don't like being slippery.
Yeah.
while like running the ropes.
Seems bad
to me. Like, walking yeah. on the ropes.
Yeah.
But most wrestlers do that. And yeah. I think that's the main reason. I know a lot of them do baby oil all over their bodies. And I can't stand that.
Yeah.
I've done on that. The hair too.
Because it's hard. It's hard to like control someone on anything.
Yeah. yeah.
When they're if that you're trying slippery. To
catch them and they're slippery, like
right.
botch the moves a lot more. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. yeah. Many it's times.
It's definitely a cosmetic thing though. Cause like Nick said, like you're shinier. The lights hit you and you have more definition. Right. And then the hair, it's like, it's a little more animated when it's wet. Like when you get punched, the hair just whips back, you know?
Yeah.
I used to do that. I used to do it too for a second. I've done the baby oil. Now I do hot stuff. So like I come on.
Oh, I hate that stuff.
Yeah, he hates it. But it makes you like more like red and vascular. But
yeah, the but reason it burns.
The reason I use it is because it's actually an easier way to warm up. So yeah. to prevent injury. So it's like, if you're in a cold building, you put that on and you immediately feel like you're kind of on fire. You're ready to go out there and wrestle.
Yeah. Doing kind of double duty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It wow. works.
And then we also wanted to say, so you guys were some of the first people who got us into wrestling in a way where we're like, oh, we're following the storylines. We like understand these characters. It was you and it was Best Friends who are some of our favorites. And can you tell us something nice about the Best Friends?
Oh, they're sweethearts.
Yeah.
Are you talking about all three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, please. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We've been friends with all three of them for, geez, probably 15 years now, right?
Yeah.
We actually, you know, what's funny is I still have Orange Cassidy in my phone as Fire Ant.
That was
his very wow. previous wrestling name back in Chikara days, and I've never changed the name to it. And I always tell him that, and he gets a kick out of that. That's pretty funny. We, you know what, we hit it off with Trent as soon as he left WWE. Mm-hmm. The first time he saw us was at like this random Canada show, I want to say, that Teddy Hart was putting on.
That's and, right.
And he saw us at the merch stand, and we were selling a ton of t-shirts and 8x10s, and he only had one 8x10, one photo, and we gave him hell for it. We were like, what are you doing, Trent? This is how you make money on the indies, you big WWF superstar. Can't have one photo. And we gave him hell for it, and ever since that day, we hit it off with him, and we've been very close with him ever since.
We explored Japan with that guy too a lot.
So yeah,
that's right. And Chuck Taylor, of course, we've been good buddies with him since the Chikara days as well. It's funny. There's a lot of the Chikara guys backstage to this day. Bryce Remsburg's another one. We've always been friends with him too. A lot of those guys, we. Like specifically hired because of our Chikara days with them. I remember Tony wasn't very high on Orange Cassidy at first, so we had to kind of sell him on him for a little bit. And I remember Tony saying, "You guys were right. He's awesome. He's amazing. Yeah, like,
look at him now."
It's crazy.
Yep.
Must be satisfying.
I have an old picture of us on our first New Japan tour in 2013, October. And it's me, Nick, and Trent standing in the rain at Tokyo Disneyland wearing these, like, I think they're Mickey ears. These girls let us borrow just for the photo.
Yeah.
And at the time, Trent would only, for whatever reason, wear board shorts everywhere. Like, we're like, it was freezing that day.
That's right.
He's standing there wearing board shorts. Like, so that day, I remember we really hit it off, like trying to find our way around Tokyo on the, you know, the trains and stuff. And we've been close ever since.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We love to hear it. Thank you for indulging us at the end. And thank you so much for talking to us. This was amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No problems.
A great time. Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to say or wish that we'd asked you or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Do you wish we'd asked you more about? You can tell us something about Dynasty if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's tonight.
No. Not that pay-per-view. That's a different
pay-per-view. Oh, shoot.
All these end of year ones.
Hard to keep track of what they're called.
This is the second World Ends you guys aren't attending. Do you hate this one pay-per-view in particular?
Yeah.
We've kind of made it a tradition now to just try to take the holidays off and be home with the family.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
Yeah.
I have to admit, the family, the kids, they love this time of the year because they know daddy's home for at least 4 to 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, we've spent so many years just missing so many things, and especially the build up to the holidays, the decorating, the shopping. So it's been fun to actually be so involved in all of that stuff again. Unfortunately, we've had to miss a few AEW shows because of it, but it's been great. We're at that point in our career, I think, now too. We're like, they can have a couple shows without us.
Well, I'll complain about
we're
that.
We're suffering. Yeah, we don't like it. But
it sounds like you're not concerned about our mental health. But okay.
Well, you guys will be able to watch us. You'll be able to watch us soon. We'll be on Japan on January 5th, Tokyo Dome. We're very excited about our opportunity to possibly get our hands on the tag team titles again. So it's going to be a big night for us. We've got our kids in attendance and our wives, and they're going to be watching there. And I'm hoping, like I said, I'm hoping to give our children a memory that they can actually remember, because I think they're too little last time.
Yeah.
So we're pumped. It's going to be fun walking into that building again too. God, I never thought ever in a million years we would, you know, go back to Japan and especially wrestle at the Tokyo Dome. So this is really cool. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we can't wait to see it. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah.
And end of interview. We didn't really have anything planned to say for the end, but that's probably okay,
we didn't practice a way to get out of this.
No. Really focused on getting in after that. You know. And now we're back. It's only us again here. And girls, don't be scared. Don't be scared anymore, because we did it.
We did it.
We did it.
And I think it was normal. Do you feel like it was normal?
Yeah. I think it was normal and it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. I think we all had a good time.
They said a lot of fun stuff.
I love the Young Bucks.
I know. Like, I was excited for Dynasty, but the idea that they might actually pop their shirts. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Pretty exciting.
Line go up.
Do you guys think that part is pretty likely to get aggregated? Because I think they're going to see
probably
that on some wrestling news sites.
I would say that's going to headline the Observer, don't you think?
Yeah. I think Pearl Talk is going to be huge across the internet community.
We learned some good stuff about those pearls. I didn't realize that the pearls, that he was integrating them into his everyday normal outfits now.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so
he's just
psyched.
Feeling it.
Yeah. And he should. He looks great.
Yeah. Fuck, that roulette thing was so cool.
I know.
WWE really does screw everybody
it
over.
Just ruins everything. Because the idea, what's really sold it for me was the shots of the backstage where 15 different tag teams are sitting there being like, do I have to wrestle in 3 minutes?
You want to see them all sitting down in like church pews, basically. Being like,
That's the kind of drama that I love in a
tribute.
Wrestling show.
It's the Hunger Games.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Is Hunger Games a WB property? Because probably not. But if it is, you could get what's her name out there to pull the names out of a hat, you know?
That story thrilled me to learn about. I'm thrilled to learn what I really think. Was it you, Ann, who said, like, do you have, like, one of you said, do you have just like a list of WB properties?
Yeah.
I'm like, they should be distributing that list and being like, yeah, you want to do synergy? You can do it with any of these. But then in that case, it makes me wonder if, like, when, you know, when Orange Cassidy and Shazam were doing synergy, I'm like, yeah, Orange Cassidy, you didn't choose that, did you? You didn't say, like, I want to do synergy with Shazam. Please tell me. Please tell me you did it.
Orange Cassidy's like, I am a huge Shazam Hammer of the Gods fan. Like,
Shazammerhead. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So we probably just need to go lie down for 4 to 5 hours at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's about right. You won't be getting, I hope you've gathered this by now. You won't be getting a real episode from us this week. That was the episode. We're very grateful and confused. We're just so grateful and so confused. And, we love you all and we hope you enjoyed it. And we'll talk to you about whatever has happened at World's End and Dynasty both, probably, maybe next week. No, Dynasty after. What time is it?
The next time we record is going to be January 2nd, but Dynasty is not until the 5th. So we'll talk about World's End.
You won't hear shit about Dynasty from us.
And New Year's smash dash crash.
Smash dash crash. It was a monster mash. This has been, I guess this has been Tunnel Talk. Allie, I'm Allie.
I've been Anne.
I'm Leah.
Tunnel Talk. Hey, listen, you don't worry too much about who we are or what this is, but it is Tunnel Talk, and our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a lot of other great podcasts. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. And something else that I... Please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And please come back next week and stay frosty. And I'll try to stay frosty, too.
Yeah. Bye.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.